And away we go. It is a Monday morning, Monday, February 24th, 2020. 2:24:20, 11 minutes past the hour. You're tuned into the Now program. Scott Spears along with you for the ride. And as you know, we had a big weekend in Nashville, Tennessee. Oh, over the last 3 days, what a time it was for somebody like me who was a Nashville novice, had never been to Nashville, had never been to any of the hot spots or attractions or places. It was tremendous. And I hope everybody got a chance to listen to the broadcast Saturday night from 6 until 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. I know people did because I got a lot of messages saying they listened, so I hope you were one of them. It will replay starting today at different points. So check out the replays if you did not get to hear the broadcast from Nashville, from the Grand Old Opry, from the steps of the Grand Old Opry on Saturday night. How historic was that? It is a day. Here we are Monday. I did make it back. Obviously not a whole lot of time to plan for a show this morning, but we really don't need a whole lot of planning this morning because after that trip, I have a lot to talk about, to be honest. It was a fun-filled two-day period. Because really, well, three-day, to be honest with you, because Friday night, I was able to do some things in Nashville that were a lot of fun. Starting off on Friday night, going to Broadway, which is the big street in Nashville, with all of the bars and restaurants and all kinds of things, and somebody's calling already here this morning. Well, let's see what this is all about. Let's go to the phones. Go ahead, caller.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Scott. Happy birthday to you.
Oh, my God. Not only do you not like to talk on the phone, you don't like to sing. What happened? Are you there?
Yes. What did you say? My headphones are messed up.
No. I said not only do you not like to talk on the phone, you don't like to sing. What happened there?
Well, I'm just, you know, being a good friend.
You did it in public this morning right off the bat. It is my birthday for people who are listening who don't know. You know, Facebook tips everybody off now, so you can't hide that stuff anymore.
Right. Well, I have to get back to work, no, but I just want to tell you happy birthday.
Thank you for calling.
You're welcome.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Well, that was Bailey Hunt, Bales, who made the trip to Nashville with me. Well, wasn't that nice? Bailey calling in. You know, that takes a lot of guts to get on the radio and sing happy birthday, and she sounded great. Bailey, thank you so much. That was tremendous. What a way to start the morning here. And it is my birthday. No hiding that now. Right off the bat. Bailey. And I'll tell you, I had a tremendous time with Bailey. She has become a very, very, very good friend. You know, when you travel with somebody and you spend that much time in a car together and you spend that much time around somebody, it can get a little difficult. But Bailey and I never had a moment where anything was problematic. We didn't have an argument, and we hit all the spots, the Grand Ole Opry, the Ryman Auditorium, Broadway, the Country Music Hall of Fame. We were just all over the place. La Peep, the big breakfast place in Nashville. So, Bailey, I can't thank you enough for calling in and singing happy birthday. I know that took guts because, let me tell you, Bailey does not like to make phone calls. She's not a big phone call person. So that was big. And I don't believe Bailey likes to sing in front of people, as she has said before, and she just sang over the airwaves. So, Bales, thank you so much. I appreciate the happy birthday wishes, and I appreciate you calling in and doing that. That means a lot. You know, Facebook has ruined the whole hiding of the birthday thing, which I used to like. I used to be able to... Oh, and Bailey also was calling. You know, Bailey's not at home, just sitting at home. She's calling from work this morning. So it's, I appreciate whoever let her do that this morning. And for her help on the broadcast Saturday night, co-hosting the broadcast out in front of the Grand Ole Opry. Oh, my goodness. Well, yeah, so there's that. There's the Nashville trip, and there's also the birthday today. So there's a lot to talk about. I'm 1 year older. Getting older and older and older, but that's the way it goes. What can you do? But the Nashville trip, which has ties to Bales, too, because she was along and was a huge help with that trip. You know, it was just a very unique experience because Nashville, to me, is kind of like any other city. I'm trying to think of how I want to say that. For those of you who haven't been there, and those of you who have, you probably already know. It's a busy city, but not like New York, not like Chicago, not like Washington, D.C. It's just busier, you know, and it's not a place where, you know, you park on the side of the street and then walk somewhere. It's parking garages, downtown, and things of that nature, but it's a very unique area because it is so country music themed. When you go to these other cities, you see a lot of eclectic things, eclectic music, eclectic people. Really, Nashville is so themed to country music, which is a good thing, that it makes it unique to walk down a street like Broadway, which is the big street in downtown Nashville, where all the restaurants are and all the bars are and all the things of that nature are. And it is... I was down there on Friday night. Friday night, kind of, you know, not late, but Friday night later. It's a happening place. Walking down the sidewalks on Friday night was difficult because of how busy it was. And that was probably 10, 11, 12, 12 o'clock down Broadway in Nashville. So that was kind of cool. But Saturday was really the main event. Saturday was the main event. Saturday got up early, went over to La Peep, which is a popular breakfast place in Nashville. It's where the Nashville... a lot of Nashville bigwigs meet for breakfast. Great breakfast, great people over at La Peep in Nashville. And then went from there to the Country Music Hall of Fame, which is really not in downtown Nashville. Now, the Country Music Hall of Fame, well, I guess it's in downtown, but it's not in the same area as Broadway. It's a little ways away from that. So it's a little more navigatable. Now, the Country Music Hall of Fame is interesting because I walked into the Country Music Hall of Fame, and as soon as I got the tickets to go in, there happened to be a live concert going in like 45 minutes after the start of the Hall of Fame or the tour of the Country Music Hall of Fame. And it was by an artist named Fillmore. Now, those of you who know country music might know the artist Fillmore. And he just happened to be performing there that day in a nice side theater at the Country Music Hall of Fame. And he has some very good songs. I believe his hit song right now is called Slower. But he has some other good songs. And the type of session that Fillmore did on Saturday was very cool. Because what he did, it was about 45 minutes long. He told stories and took questions from the audience and then interspersed his songs. So that was really fun, and got to sit second row for that, and really might as well have been first row, because there was nobody in front of the... there was nobody in the row one as we sat in the second row. So, you know, you were right there Fillmore was 10 feet away, if that, doing this performance. And he was a very sharp performer. And, you know, there's so much made today of people who perform, they lip sync to the music, and they don't really perform like they used to. They don't get up and just sit there on a stool with a guitar and use their real vocals. Well, Fillmore did that. I was sitting close enough to know there was no lip syncing going on. There was no band accompanying him. It was him and a guitar and a stool. So that's something to me that's very unique about country music, and I'm sure some country music is homogenized and put through the wheel, as they say. But not Fillmore, and he was great. And after Fillmore did his 45-minute performance, which was a great performance, he stood out in the lobby of the Country Music Hall of Fame, and he took pictures with people, and he answered more questions, and he shook hands, and he did everything nice that somebody would do. So I certainly do thank Fillmore for what he did for everybody that day at the Country Music Hall of Fame. And just a nice man walking up to him, telling him where I was from and what was going on. And he was willing to take three different pictures with us. So he just a nice man. He could not have been more hospitable. And I'm sure you're going to hear more from Fillmore as the days and weeks go on if you listen to country music radio or pay attention on your favorite internet source. Look him up today, by the way, if you want to. Fillmore. Some good songs. So we go to the Fillmore concert, which was free, and that was a lot of fun. Then we took the tour of the Country Music Hall of Fame. Now, the Country Music Hall of Fame is very interesting because there are so many things in there, and it's not a guided tour. You kind of just go on your own. It's three floors, and you go on your own. Now, some of the things that are sticking out in my mind this morning from the Country Music Hall of Fame, Burt Reynolds' Trans Am was there from the movie Smokey and the Bandit Part 2, which I thought was cool, having seen that movie. The Trans Am they used in the film is there. A lot of exhibits, of course, in regard to people who have meant something to country music. There is a huge, at this point, Brooks and Dunn exhibit. Of course, Garth Brooks and Dolly Parton and Taylor Swift have big sections. A matter of fact, Taylor Swift has a... I don't know how it all happened, but I'm sure she has donated money to the Country Music Hall of Fame, or they've just decided to name it in her honor. I'm not really sure how it happened, but there are classrooms at the Country Music Hall of Fame, and they are named in honor of Taylor Swift. And if you go into that part of the Country Music Hall of Fame, you will see some of the outfits that she has worn during different performances, and you will see some of the original outfits that she wore starting out in the band. I think the original band outfit was there with the original sheet music. So it's good to keep things. You know, we talk about hoarding today. Well, it's good to keep certain things, especially if you become famous. So that was tremendously cool. On this show, I have been lucky enough over the years to interview a lot of great country music people like Ralph Emery and Lulu Roman and Roy Clark and Bill Anderson. I've had a lot of great country music people. So going through the museum, it was fun because they had a hee-haw section. And in the hee-haw section, they had one of Lulu's old dresses that she wore on hee-haw. So it was kind of cool to see that. What they actually had there was the cornfield from hee-haw, which I believe was the original cornfield that they used on hee-haw. So that, if you're a television person, or you were a hee-haw person, which was on, I believe, 30 years on national television, to see the cornfield, which was probably the most recognizable fixture on the hee-haw set right there in the Country Music Hall of Fame, was great. So there's that. And then there are, as I say, exhibits set up for each artist, and from the oldest artist to the newest artist, from Hank Williams to Garth Brooks, to people of this age, Keith Urban, and people of that nature. It's that type of place. People who have a history and who are currently still making history. Now, one of the great parts of the Country Music Hall of Fame is the Country Music Hall of Fame. because in the Country Music Hall of Fame are the plaques. And you can see in this room, and it's kind of, to be honest with you, it's kind of a somber room, oddly enough. You walk into this room, and it's not sad somber, it's just, what would I say? It's just quiet, because it is the Country Music Hall of Fame, it is where the plaques are, and so many of these great artists have gone on to their reward. It's just a very unique place, and that's all that's in that room. It's just the plaques. It's a circular room with all the plaques hanging on the wall from all the people who have been inducted into the Country Music Hall of Fame. And the plaques are great. They're big gold plaques about the size of a small window, and they've actually got the person's picture embossed on the plaque, the gold plaque. And then they have a little biography of the person, and then they have when the person was born, and if they have passed away, it has that on there. And it was just great to go through that room, as I say, because I saw so many people who I have had the chance to interview, like the late Roy Clark, and Bill Anderson, who is still with us, who's a member of the Hall of Fame, and Ralph Emery, who's a member of the Hall of Fame. So that was fun. And to see all those people who made country music what it is today, Minnie Pearl, Grandpa Jones, the whole bunch, Hank Williams, it really was something. And outside the Hall of Fame room at the Country Music Hall of Fame, they have a television loop running showing people's award speeches over the years. Because a lot of people who have been inducted, I think it's usually done on the CMA Awards, is when they induct somebody into the Hall of Fame, the ceremony. And they, of course, have videoed these speeches over the last years, and the loop of the speeches is running, and that's very cool to see. So the clothes. I mean, a lot of clothes, a lot of gold records, a lot of Grammy awards are there that people were given over the years. I mean, it really was a great place. So that was the Country Music Hall of Fame. Now, for me, the main event was the Grand Ole Opry. Now, the Grand Ole Opry is down by the mall, the Opry, I think it's Opry Mills Mall is the name of it, but a huge mall. And by the way, the thing about this mall that is still so cool, that is cool to me, is that it's still operational. It's been a long time since I've been in a mall that still has a lot of stores, hardly any empty storefronts. I don't know if I saw one empty storefront. There's stores everywhere through this mall, and it is a huge mall. It was hard to find a parking spot at this mall. And great restaurants like the Aquarium and TGI Fridays, not TGI Maxx. Every kind of food you could imagine. And there was a Panda Express in there. There was a Smoothie King in there. There was a Burger King in there. Just a really happening mall, which is kind of cool on a lot of levels. So that was great. Now, the Grand Ole Opry is just right across the street from there, and it's a small street, almost in the parking lot of this mall. And the Grand Ole Opry, now this, as I say, was the highlight. About 3 o'clock on Saturday, had a tour of the Grand Ole Opry. Now, usually when you start a tour, they show some kind of video. And a lot of times these videos, you say, oh no, here we go, we're going on a tour, and we want to see real stuff, and they're going to show us a movie that we really don't want to see. Well, let me tell you, you go in, and I'm trying to do all this without spoiling it for people, because I know people want to go down there and do this for themselves if they have not done it. And trust me, there's nothing I could say this morning that would spoil it for you, because when you're actually in the moment, it is indescribable. But you go into this little room when you first walk in, and it's only a 12-minute video. It's not very long at all. It's in this room. It's not a huge room at all. It's a fairly small room. But it's got a stage in the front of it. It's got tremendous lighting in this room, tremendous acoustics, and the video comes down and basically tells you the history of the Grand Ole Opry. But it's not one of those videos that is, oh, it started here, and then here it became, and then here's what it is today. It's a video filled with music and very touching moments from the Grand Ole Opry over the years. And one of the most touching moments that seems to happen at the Grand Ole Opry is when somebody's asked to become a member. And there's a lot of things in that video, a lot of clips of people who were asked to become members of the Grand Ole Opry. And these famous, famous people like Brad Paisley and Carrie Underwood and people of that nature, Darius Rucker has a very emotional moment in that video. When they're asked to become a member of the country or the Grand Ole Opry, you just see them overcome with emotion. And it's kind of interesting to understand what that place means to them, these people who are country music stars, because it's certainly not the biggest venue in the world, but it is so important for people. And I was trying to think if there's any other type of music that has a venue like that, that is just important to that genre of music, and I'm not sure there is. I'm not sure where the place is that people who do rock and roll would play, or people who do soul, or people who do Motown, or people who do rap. I don't know where the arena is that they're supposed to play that has the historic value that the Grand Ole Opry has for these country music stars, which is what makes it so unique. So you watch this video, and then you go in to the backstage area of the Grand Ole Opry, and you see all the dressing rooms. And what's so unique is the Grand Ole Opry's been around since 1927, and I believe moved to its new location in the 70s from the Ryman Auditorium. What's unique about that is that the Grand Ole Opry really, the furniture is out of a different time. I mean, you could not buy this furniture today. You could not buy the wallpaper. You could not buy the lamps and the fixtures and everything that is in these dressing rooms because they are just of a different time. And to know the people who stayed in those rooms and went out on that stage, very cool to take that backstage tour. And at the end of the backstage tour, you come out and they let you on the stage. This stage at the beginning, which they tell you has been the home, the lifeblood of every country music star since 1927. And there's the stage. You're on it with the big red barn that everybody sees and the microphone and the theater that seats over 4,000 people. And it's pew seating. I mean, there's some regular seating like you would see in some theaters. But to have this pew seating that is all throughout the Grand Ole Opry, you know, it makes it kind of like a church. And really, this place is the church of country music. Now, you don't know this till you're at the very end of the tour, but this is not giving anything away of any importance. There's a spot on the floor, because the Grand Ole Opry did move from the Ryman Auditorium to where it is now in the 70s. But the floor was very important at the Ryman Auditorium. So when they moved, they cut a piece of the floor out, a circular piece of the floor, and they made that part of the stage of the new Grand Ole Opry back in the 70s. So when people perform on that stage, they're standing on that floor that was at the original Grand Ole Opry 1927. That's where the microphone is set. The microphone that you sing into at the Grand Ole Opry is right in front of that circle on the floor, which is well lit. So when you perform there and you're singing into the microphone, you're singing on part of the floor that is part of the 1927 Ryman Auditorium, start of the Grand Ole Opry. Now, why is this important? Why is this cool? So many people have stood there. as I've said, every major country music star since 1927, from Minnie Pearl to Brad Paisley, and everybody in between. So they let you go stand on this. And not only do they let you go stand on this, they let you stand behind the microphone, and they already have a photographer there ready to take your picture. So you have a picture of yourself, professionally done, on the Grand Ole Opry stage, standing on the floor, that is from the original Ryman Auditorium, 1927, behind the microphone that everybody sings behind, that goes out on 6:50 a.m. Radio station every Saturday night, and they take your picture. And you can get that picture at the end of the tour. And also, they are not sticklers for taking pictures inside the Grand Ole Opry. They want you to take pictures of it. So, boy, there are pictures. If you go to my Facebook page, Scott Spears, you will see a lot of these pictures from, I think there was a picture taken on the stage. I think there was a picture taken in front of the Grand Ole Opry. I think there was a picture taken facing the audience where you could see all the pews behind you. I think there was a picture taken from the pews facing the stage. It was just that type of place. And then you do walk through the audience where, you know, the pews are and people sit. And that's rather historic. And it's just one of the most tremendous venues that I've ever toured. That would be the must-see to me. Not that the Country Music Hall of Fame was not, but if there's anything you're going to do when you are in Nashville, it would be go to the Grand Ole Opry and take that backstage tour. Even if you don't go to the show at the Grand Ole Opry, try to get yourself into the backstage tour, because that's well worth every minute. So that was great. The tour goes on about an hour. And when the tour was over, it was time to do the radio broadcast that you heard back here Saturday night, 6 to 8 p.m. And what fun did we have with that? Because we did it from the Grand Ole Opry. We did it from the steps, basically, of the Grand Ole Opry. We're probably about 20 or 30 feet from the front door, if that. And it was a little chilly out there that night. I believe 48 degrees was the temperature. But you know what? Well worth it. And being on the air that night with the response we got was tremendous. So I certainly do thank Bailey Hun, who called in earlier on this morning to wish me a happy birthday. And I thank her for doing that broadcast with us, because it was a special moment. It was special to be on those historic steps. It was special to broadcast from that historic venue. And just one of those moments. You don't forget, and I really enjoyed the broadcast. It was not highly serious, and it was not highly jokey. And I think Bailey did a great job of describing what was going on. So, there you go. It was a time, and there's much more to fill in, and you'll have to tune in Friday night to Bailey and I's show here on WWGH Radio, Friday Night Live, to hear the inside stories of what went on this trip, because I'm giving you the kind of the tourist version of this trip. You'll have to hear some of the inside stories between her and I, which you will only get Friday night, 8 to 10 here on WWGH Radio. Now, you know, what can I say? It's highly recommended. It's highly navigatable. It's something to do. And I guess I'm still a little... Oh, and we also went down to the Ryman Auditorium yesterday. Because after going to the Grand Ole Opry, you think, well, hey, I got to go to the Ryman Auditorium, which is in downtown Nashville. So the last thing we did before we left Nashville yesterday was go back downtown to the Ryman Auditorium and get a picture in front of the Ryman Auditorium, the original Grand Ole Opry. So that was done as well. Nashville... What a place it is. Certainly a place I think I will be going back to in the future. You just can't go wrong there. So that's my soliloquy on Nashville this morning. Now, if you have any questions, feel free to give me a call. Or if you heard the broadcast on Saturday night and want to comment on that, Because I haven't heard it. I was a part of it, but I haven't heard it. I think the quality was pretty good, from what I understand, from the people who were listening and from the people who were engineering. We thank Sean Kraft for engineering that show on Saturday night. And I'm sure it'll be in the archives very soon if it's not already there, thanks to Adam Lepp, 2 hours from Nashville from the Grand Ole Opry. But if you have any questions about this trip or would like to ask me anything at this point or have anything on your mind, it is 41 minutes past the hour on this Monday morning, February 24th, 2020, 2-24-20. Give me a ring, 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. If you have any questions, comments, or things that you would like to say, this would be the time to do it. Certainly would love to hear from you this morning, because it is fun to be back in the studio doing a live show from here. And as I say, there'll be more of this. I'm just remembering what I'm remembering right now. I don't have any notes in front of me. So as the week goes on, I'm sure things will be triggered in my mind that will bring up more things that I will talk about in regard to the Nashville, Tennessee trip, which was a really, really great trip. Okay. 740-383-9944. If anybody has anything to say this morning. You know what did surprise me about Nashville, though, was the time of the trip, because we talked about this on Friday, I believe it was, before I left. You know, some people said 6 hours, some people said 8 hours, some people said 7 hours. You know what it ended up being, and I did drive the speed limit. I did not go over or under the speed limit to Nashville. It took about, because we only stopped once both ways. We stopped once on the way down, not at a restaurant or anything. We just stopped to go into a gas station, stretch your legs, you know, things like that. We did that once on the way down and once on the way back. And that was probably 15-minute stop both times. So you had 15 minutes onto the trip because of those two stops. It took probably 5.5, maybe 6 hours. It wasn't much more than that, because when you subtract the time getting the car unloaded to go into the hotel and the stop you made at the gas station, I'm going to say probably 6 hours, or right around that. Between 6 and 6.5 hours, I'm going to say, is what it took to get there. And I guess if you're a speed demon and driving faster than that, you could probably make it there faster, but definitely not 7 or 8 hours. But, you know, maybe some people go a different way and just drive a little different, and that's fine too. As long as you get there, that's the point. Oh, and Friday we did have somebody call in and say you need to go down to Tootsie's. Now, I did not go in Tootsie's because it was very busy. It's down on Broadway in Nashville, but I did go past Tootsie's on Friday night, and it was a hopping place. I can see why it's very popular, and the restaurants in Nashville are kind of interesting, because there are a lot of restaurants named for current country music stars, but there are also a lot of restaurants for people who have long passed on. Johnny Cash has a restaurant down in downtown Nashville. George Jones has a restaurant in downtown Nashville. There are others that I'm forgetting, but the two I remember seeing very well are Johnny Cash and Kenny Rogers. So great restaurants there, which were just fun. Just a very fun thing. And it was a trip. It was a trip. I would definitely go back because of the easiness of the travel and the easiness of the city once you're there navigating. It just makes for a fun trip. Now, I'm getting, because as you know, Bailey, who started the show off this morning, Bailey Hunt tagged along on this trip with me, my co-host here. Now, she's telling me I went under the speed limit. And it... So... okay. She... I guess she's hearing everything 2 minutes later. Because she called in this morning, and I'm sure she shut off her radio, which is lagging everything 2 minutes. So she's hearing this 2 minutes after I'm saying it. But I just got her message, and she's saying I drove under the speed limit. Now, here's the deal. Between Nashville and here, there are spots where it's 55, there are spots where it's 65, and there are spots where it's 70. Now, I'm going to say most of the trip is between 65 and 70. Now, I was driving between 65 and 70. When Bailey's in here Friday night, you'll probably hear more about this. But I was not driving under the speed limit. I was driving with the accorded speed limit, or certainly within that 10 mile per hour buffer that you would be in taking a trip to Nashville. So, no, I don't think that I was driving under the speed limit. Now, Bailey will tell you different, but the truth of the matter is I don't think I was driving under the speed limit. And you know, Bailey should be happy at this point because I got her there alive, and I got her home alive, and there was no accidents and no speeding tickets and no traffic violations. And, it, you know, she was home early last night. She was home before 9 o'clock. And we got there Friday night before 9 o'clock. So, you know, you gotta take what you can take. Deal with what you can deal with. So, yeah, that's going to be a long-term conversation. And also the pronunciation of towns between here and Nashville, Tennessee. That's something Bailey and I had a... Well, there really is no disagreement. There just is the correct and the non-correct way to pronounce things like that. And she certainly did not have the correct way on a lot of those. But we forgive and we forget, and we continue to have fun. So that's Nashville, Tennessee. One of the very cool places to be. 740-383-9944. If you have a question or comment, if you heard the broadcast Saturday night, I'd love to hear from you as to what you thought about the broadcast Saturday night. Because as I said, I have not heard it. I hear it came off okay. I hear it sounded okay. And if you did listen to it, I hope you liked it. So give me your buzz, 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. To do, as I said, to do a broadcast from the steps of the Grand Ole Opry is really, that's an historic event in your career, especially considering it's within like 90 minutes of you taking the tour and realizing what has gone on in that particular building. That's really something to think about. And the show, which has... There has never been a Saturday night show that did not happen at the Grand Ole Opry in history. So no matter what's went on, there's always been a Saturday night show from the Grand Ole Opry since 1927. That's kind of interesting when you think about it, considering they moved locations and technical difficulties and so on and so forth and booking acts. When you think that they have never missed a show since 1927 on a Saturday night, you know, that is really something in big picture terms that is to be admired and really looked about, looked upon as a great, great, what do I want to say? It's a great feather in their cap for how they're able to do that. And the big stars come and perform on the Grand Ole Opry. Oh, and this was something else I found fascinating about the Grand Ole Opry. They say most people arrive there by their own car, that they're not chauffeured in, they're not carred in, they're not driven in, car and driver. They're brought there. And I think that is one of the coolest things you can imagine. Now, I'm getting messages here. That's what you keep hearing in the background. I keep getting dings And I certainly do appreciate the dings because, as you heard earlier on, it is my birthday today. And again, I thank Bailey for calling in and doing what she did. I'm going to read this message very quick. It's a happy birthday message, and I appreciate that. And it's commenting on the broadcast Saturday. I listened to you and Bailey, Miss Bailey, as they call it. Maybe that should be her name now. I call her Bales. I can't get away from Bales at this point. She's going to be Bales forever. But Miss Bailey, maybe we can throw that in there. Miss Bailey on Saturday sounded great. I can't seem to find any pictures on Facebook. Will they be on the WWGH website? Well, if Adam's out there listening, Adam, you can put, I guess, some of the pictures up on the WWGH website. I don't think that would be an awful thing if people want to find some of the pictures from the Nashville trip. But they are on my Facebook page, I believe. If you're out there listening right now, a person who sent me, I don't want to say your name because I don't know if you want me to say your name, but if you're out there listening right now, go to my Facebook page. If you're not a friend, friend me. I'll add you. It's just Scott Spears. And I believe all the pictures are on my Facebook page at this point, and that's probably the best way to look at them, even better than going to the website. So also, anybody else who wants to see these pictures, and there are a lot of pictures from Nashville, Ryman Auditorium, Grand Ole Opry, Country Music Hall of Fame, all kinds of stuff to see, and I believe there will be even more pictures put up as time goes by because a lot of pictures were taken. By the way, I do want to mention Bailey took all the pictures, so I did not snap one picture of my own with any device. I took a picture of her doing some things, but I did not shoot any of the shots from the Grand Ole Opry. I did not shoot any of the shots from the Country Music Hall of Fame. Didn't do any of that. So that was all Bailey. So we thank Bales for that as well, for documenting this trip for our listeners. So just add me on Facebook, Scott Spears, and you'll be able to see the pictures now as you scroll down through my page. You would be able to see exactly what went on this past weekend. And there are a lot of great pictures on there. She was really, really a great photographer when it came to documenting this particular trip. So we thank her for that. Just so much to see. I think that's kind of the synopsis of this whole thing here, is there was just so much to see. And I'm so glad that the broadcast came through okay, because this was one of the things I was nervous about on Friday morning before I left. Because anytime you do a remote broadcast, you're taking your life in your own hands. Because you've got a microphone there, you've got to be connected there, which is 6 hours away from here. Then you've got to send it back here to the station, and then the station's got to bounce it off the tower and into your listening device or your radio. And sometimes that's a trick, because it's live and there is no second chance. So you get what you get when the live broadcast goes up. And I was so glad to hear that the live broadcast came off without a hitch this past Saturday night. So that'll be something to keep in the archives forever and ever and ever, from the steps of the historic Grand Ole Opry. And it was historic in a lot of ways, because I've done a lot of broadcasts from, you know, New York City and Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, and Chicago, and all kinds of places here in Ohio, Cleveland, the World Series, the Republican Convention in Cleveland. Done a lot of remote broadcasts in my life, but I don't think there was any more historic venue than the Grand Ole Opry to be doing a broadcast from, and to be doing it right up to the time that they're doing their show. That's what made it so great, was to be sitting out there as the show is getting ready to happen on Saturday night, which happens from 8 until 10. And I thought we were getting a call there. Let's see if we are getting a call. I think that call went away. Well, if that was you, call back in 740-383-9944. If that was you, give us a ring back, 740-383-9944. I don't know if we lost you or you lost us. Okay, well, here we go. this might be whatever that was. So let's take the call. Go ahead, caller.
Good morning, Scott.
Good morning.
Well, I'm just heading to the appointment today.
Fine.
And I'm running late, like always. I'm gonna run late to my own funeral, I think.
I'll probably run late to your funeral, so it'll be okay.
Oh, there you go. Yes. I just want to wish you a happy birthday.
Well, I appreciate that. Thank you. It's
it's
birthday day. How about that?
That's right. 20 days after mine. How about that one?
It is 20 days after yours. Another year older and another year, I don't know about wiser, but another year older.
Yeah, there you go.
So you do what you can do, I guess.
Yeah, that's right. I just wanted to call in. I couldn't make it to the studio this morning, of course, but that's why I wanted to call in and take care of that.
Well, no, I appreciate it.
Yeah, and also, sounds like you had a good time in Nashville. And sounded good back here at home.
Well, that was interesting. When you were engineering the broadcast on Saturday, did you listen to it through a radio?
A little bit, yeah. Then I had to fix it, I guess. But there was some echoes.
Oh,
I don't know what caused that, but I fixed it.
Let's go. Now, I got a message this morning that it sounded great. So I guess coming over the airwaves, it was completely understandable, and also a good broadcast.
Yeah, it was a very good broadcast. We hung up there the second hour. Towards the end, I had to fix it to the tower. I made some adjustments on the tower, but yeah, it sounded really good.
Well, sound is usually not meant to fly through the air 6 hours away, but luckily we were able to make it happen for 2 hours on Saturday night.
Yes, and it was a very good broadcasting. Glad you had a good time. Next time I'll make that trip. I just got back from a long trip myself.
Well, it was fun. It was fun. Like I say, it's an easy enough trip to do. It's a day trip. It's a smooth ride, and it just, you know, that makes it a lot easier and different from a lot of other places that you go to here on the East Coast.
Absolutely. I have a lot of calls from California when I was in California about the 3 hour difference and stuff. It's hard to adjust that.
Hard to work it out.
Yes, but I had a good time in California. Alcatraz was pretty interesting. But I can tell more story about that later on.
Well, that's good. I'm glad you had a good time. I'm glad everything went well. It was a week of trips last week here in February. Everybody fleed Marion, Ohio for a little bit in February, but that's okay.
That's right. That's right.
It turned out on all ends.
Absolutely. I thought that, your WWE has traveled a lot. I mean, we've been to the Cleveland, Pittsburgh, to California. Well, we didn't do broadcasts in California, but we.
No, there's been a lot.
I mean,
there we've broadcast from Akron. We've broadcast twice from Cleveland. We've been in Toledo. We've been in New York. We've been in Nashville. We've been in Pittsburgh. We've really covered the waterfront, as they say.
That's right. So, all right. Well, I won't keep you. I just wanted to wish you a happy birthday and tell you that was a very good show that you and Bailey did from Nashville, Tennessee.
I appreciate it, and thank you for engineering that. That was a tremendous help. Things came off a lot smoother because of that.
Oh, you're welcome. No problem at all. I'm glad I could help.
Thank you.
All right. Talk to you later.
And, of course, thanks for the birthday wishes. Yeah, Sean was able to come in, and trust me, broadcasts can be very, very difficult. But he made that one a lot less difficult. So, we thank Sean Kraft for that. We're coming up on 59 minutes past the hour here. But again, if you have any questions, comments, things you'd like to say, we will be back with a whole nother hour here this morning. We've got a whole nother hour to go. Don't forget the Adam the Computer Guy. No, it's mid-morning coffee break with Adam Lepp. Sorry, Adam, I'm Nashville hungover here. Mid-morning coffee break with Adam Lepp this morning, 10:10 until 11 a.m., and then we have Voice of a People with Linda Sims today from 4:10 to 5 p.m. and The Mike Wilson Show from 5:10 until 6 p.m. right here on WWGH Radio 107.1 FM, streaming live all over the world at WWGH1071.com. The Post Nashville Show. What fun we are having. We will be back in about 15 minutes. Don't you dare go anywhere.
The Talking Place. For legendary comedian and the voice of Ursula in The Little Mermaid, Pat Carroll.
And as I teased before we went to the break there, we have on today a lady who I've had on the program, I believe, two times before. But every time she comes on, I am excited. She's one of the most kind is the word I think of when I think of this woman, people that I have ever talked to. And I can tell you, I won't name names, but there are people who have been in Hollywood and had a great career who are not as kind as you might think they are. This woman exceeds the kindness that you might think she would be. She has the greatest laugh in the world, and she was the voice of one of the greatest villains in Disney history, Ursula from The Little Mermaid. And along the way, she did a lot of great game shows and television series and worked with people like T. Gloria Swanson, Danny Thomas, Sid Caesar. The list goes